Good morning, dear listeners. Welcome to Early Morning Scoop. Welcome to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. And I think it's the right time to thank Matthias Sangala. It's the right time to thank Matthias Sangala. And it's your morning program, Early Morning Scoop. And this is the program which is running from the hour of 6 in the morning until 7:30. And as it has always been the case, this is a platform where we bring about those real conversation this morning, those real conversation, and want to greet you wherever you are, whatever you do. Some of you are sleeping. Some of you already started jogging. Some of you are in the gym. Some of you are still planning the day ahead. Some of you are meditating. But it's always very important to make sure that whatever you do it to the best of your abilities. And it's also very important to also acknowledge and also thank you for always following Eagle FM Namibia and also always, you know, being with us. We're always very happy to be here. We are very happy to bring about those real conversation. And yeah. And for today, what you need to do, especially we do not have motivation today, but it's always very important to make sure that you strengthen the spirit when you wake up. Strengthen the spirit. You must always be positive. And just to have a good understanding of how life is operating, you know, there is an African proverb which is indicating that, you know, when water is very calm, it doesn't mean that there are no crocodiles inside. So you must be very careful with quiet people, non-reactive people, and also also stop calling people toothless bulldogs, because at the end of the day, when they start showing you their teeth, you start going under the table all the way. So, yes, Early Morning Scoop is a program, it's a conversational program, it's a program which is, you know, guided by conversation, current conversations which are going trending. Not only any conversation, but conversation which has to do with a bread and butter issue. We talk about economic development. We talk about, you know, financial stability. We talk about international development. We talk about policy making. We talk about issues of governance. We also talk about issues of trade. Where are we standing as a country in terms of trade? Where are we standing as a region in terms of trade? Where are we standing in terms of relationship between our country and, you know, other countries? That is international relations. And also looking at domestic projects, domestic, you know, activities, such as, you know, everybody's talking about potato project. Not only potato project, but this it's a project which is, you know, integrated in a lot of, you know, products. We talk about, local economic development. We look at, you know, how we can advance our SMEs, how we can advance, small and medium enterprises, because, those are the backbone of our economy. When you look at what is called an informal sector, you find a lot of, entrepreneurs, young people and adults, old people trying to do the best of their ability. Some of those activities, what you call hustling. And, apart from that, we also look at, you know, what are some of the challenges that we are facing as a country and how can we solve them? Because although life is war, although, challenges and problems are part of life, there are those that can be handled and there are those that, you know, can also be, you know, avoided, like issues of resource distribution, issues of inequality. We look at issues of the law and also, you know, issues of, you know, issues of, you know, equal distribution of resources, like what we have said, issues of governance and also how we can move the country forward. Because driving this conversation at this morning, we are always saying it cannot be correct to be where we are as a country. We could have been where advanced countries are compared to what we have in terms of resources, in terms of, you know, the foundation being laid. and also in terms of the population that we have, and also relationships that we have with other countries. And we are always asking ourselves to say, why are we in this situation? Why are we in this situation? And can it be, can we do something better than what we do? How can we strengthen our institutions? How can we, you know, capacitate our individuals? How can we, you know, strengthen our academic, you know, not really to say academic standard, but the quality of our education to make sure that they answer to our needs on the ground. So before we go to the conversation for today, because we also have a guest today, we have a guest who is also going to join us in 10 minutes. We have a guest. And before we go to the conversation for today, we are always telling you to say, for you to be a very good citizen who understand what is happening in and outside the country, particularly when it's coming to bread and butter issue, what you need to do, just make sure that, you know, you follow Eagle FM Namibia. Follow us in all our social media platform. Follow us on Facebook. Like our page, share our page, because those who follow you will be able to follow us, and they will not be left behind in terms of bread and butter issue, and in terms of critical and needed conversations. So, apart from following us on Facebook, on Twitter, on Twitter, former X, to say, Instagram and LinkedIn, we also have an e-paper that is... it's an online paper that you can download. It's an e-paper that is coming out every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And you can subscribe to it by sending your name to this number, 081-200-4144. 081-200-4144. Send your name, save that number. You will be sent that newspaper digitally every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And you'll be a good citizen who understand what is going on inside and outside the country. You, if you are a student of economics, student of politics, student of development, student of public policy, student of science, and every economic mover, you are a business person, you are a researcher, make sure that, you know, subscribe to the Villager newspaper. Get the Villager newspaper. Expand your horizons and thinking. And also expand your research capacity, because when you have access to economic insight, when you have access to data, when you have access to content-based conversations on development, when you enter a room, or when you enter those boardroom business conversations, you'll be able to say something of variable, you'll be able to contribute to discussion in your business, and you'll be guided, particularly in terms of making those we are always talking about long-term, strategic and, you know, economic decisions. Because when you look long-term, it's easier for you to move, and also it's easier for you to deal with smaller challenges. Because, when you look at, there's also one proverb which is indicating that to say no, short-sightedness is, short-sightedness is the end to a non-thinker. And it's also indicating that a hyena who eat a pregnant goat is not wise enough, because it's thinking about short-term. And it's not thinking about the family which is being going to be brought by that pregnant goat. So that is exactly what we are trying to indicate to you. Apart from now getting access to the Villager newspaper, download Eagle FM app. Because there's always a question about frequency, and we are always advising people to say, get the best alternative way of doing things. Because I know it's very difficult to change, but change is necessary. We are telling people that we are moving toward digitalization. Namibians, we are moving toward digitalization, and if the frequency is not reaching you, download the Eagle FM app. That is exactly what we are trying to say. Go to your Play Store, download the Eagle FM app. When you download that app, the moment you download that app and put it in your phone, when you just open it, you'll be able to listen to the programs which are on air. And also you have a luxury of going back and listen to previous programs through looking at the podcast All the programs that you have missed, they are documented, recorded, and free, accessible for free. Then you can be able now to make sure that you listen to that to those programs. And the other thing is Imba app. That is your hymn book. Download Imba app. Imba app is a digital version of a hymn book, simplified digital version, smart way of accessing a hymn book. If you do not have a hard copy, just go to your Play Store, download the Imba app. Then when you go to church or you go to, you know, events that require you to sing from a hymn book, just access Imba app, put it in your phone. Either it's Oshiwambo, a hymn book, Ehangano, Oshierero, Maimborero, Afrikaans, Silozi, English, and many other local Namibian languages. So download Imba app, then you make your life more easier. So you can be a pastor, you can be a young person, you can be married couples, but you don't have a hymn book with on hard copy. But your life will be made easier if you have access to Imba app, and you know, download that, and you know, make your life more easier. So, dear listeners, as I have indicated, you are listening to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. And we are here until the hour of 7:30. Here until the hour of 7:30. And in a short period of time, we are going to have a guest that is going to engage us, particularly on the events which are happening regarding what do we do as a country. We are going to analyze institution of governance, particularly the SOEs. We are going to look at the act which is governing SOEs, or known as prastatals, or known as you know, government businesses or state businesses, and we are going to see why in Namibia, and also compared to other countries, particularly South Africa, what is causing the degeneration of SOEs in Namibia. What is causing the degeneration of SOEs? Because there is always a fight between the chairperson of the board and the CEO. There is always a contradiction between the minister and the leaders of that SOEs. We are going to unpack those things. We are also going to look at issues of, you know, related to economic inequality. Because when you look at the situation like somebody working for SOE, and that person is not even an executive director, I mean, he's not even a CEO, and he's paid more than a president of the country in terms of salary scale. And you'll also be able to see that a minister who is in charge of appointing a board of directors and controlling SOEs has less money than those who are running SOEs. And there is a bit of contradiction to say, what is really going on and who is benefiting from this? What is the relationship between the corporate industry and also the state itself and the government itself? And how can we harness those, challenges? And maybe moving forward, we are going to use the case study of NAMCO, and also a little bit of NIDA and a few other SOEs. Depends on where we are going to end. However, today we are going to look at that act. It's known as PEGA Act, and it's a guiding principle of all SOEs in Namibia. They define the functions of board of directors, the function of the chairperson of the board, the function of the ministry responsible for that SOEs, the function of the minister, and all the things which are clarified. And we are going to look at why we end up where we are today, and how can we move forward. So, dear listeners, let's go to a commercial break. Then from there, we see what we have for today. Stay tuned. We are here until the hour of 7:30.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the R. Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have the capacity to build? Why should you do that? Even a person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we have been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Great news. Impact just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Impact? Get all exclusive features for just $36 Namibian a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Ipurani ingeni wapungwa Eva tere mwikoni mandu tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweko tite okowe eku kunile. Oshafa fana nongeshe fendi mehola mo ihewe tike kovano ile koshuwana. Kono ngeshe fa ya kumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka. Okupitira oipindi konu onda doi nawa. Minuto otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe fa omarudi tayo loka.
Yes, we are continuing with Early Morning Scoop. We are looking at, the state of SOEs in Namibia. We are looking at how did we get where we are today. And, for those of you who follow social media, for those of you who read print media, also visual media, you'll be able to see and also understand that there's a lot of things which have been happening, particularly when, Anti-Corruption Commission have been called the toothless bulldog. And they have been defending themselves to say, we are not toothless, we are moving based on the principles of the law, and we are doing our investigation. But surprisingly, a lot of things have happened. Top executives of NAMCO were arrested, and still more to be arrested. And we are not really interested in who is arrested, and we are not happy about people being arrested, actually. But we are not happy also about corruption practices which have been done. But the context that we are trying to look at is that how did we get where we are today? Because we are not interested in the bad news. We are interested in the resources which are being lost, and how can we save our country in terms of inequality that we have in the country, in terms of imbalance, in terms of payment of salaries and all those things. We are also looking at the state of Namibia SOEs. However, for us to unpack this, I got into the conversation, or we are in the conversation right now with a governance researcher, and that is Imska Ngoya, and is going to help us particularly to look at PEGA Act, that is Public Enterprise Governance Act, which is guiding these SOEs. Why do we get where we are? So, Imska Ngoya, good morning, and how are you doing this morning?
Good morning, David. My morning is very well.
Yeah.
And good morning to the listeners of Eagle FM.
Yes. Let us look at firstly, Just look at the state of Namibia SOEs. How do you view them? Why are we where we are? Just before we go to the act itself, what is the state of Namibia SOEs? Are they functioning the way they were supposed to function? Or what is really the problem, particularly looking at the various scandals happening?
Actually, I would like to say that the SOEs,
as
you stated, the state-owned enterprises of Namibians,
they are
those that are performing and they are those that are not performing. And specifically, I would like to say that those that are failing to perform or that are not meeting their targets in terms of performances, it's mostly the commercial state-owned enterprises.
Yeah.
Those that are meant to make profit.
Yeah.
In terms of to sustain themselves or to contribute to the economics of the country.
Yeah.
Because we have some of the state-owned enterprises.
Yeah.
They exist, but they are there to provide services.
Yeah, yeah.
Some that are there also just for to regulate and also to set standards.
Yeah.
So most of those that are into regulation, I would say that they are performing better because they are managing to do their duties in terms of regulating, for instance, businesses, regulating standards and so forth.
Uh-huh.
But for many that are now commercial, those that are intended to make profit, so that they'll be able to sustain themselves and also to contribute to the economy of the country.
Yeah.
Most of them are failing. And I think this is because of management. It's within the management.
I'm not hearing you. Can you please pick up? Sorry.
Okay. So, as I was saying, I think the failure mostly is coming within the management. It's also coming within the governing structures.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the management and the governing structures are failing to perform their duties in trying to ensure that the SOEs that they are reading or that they are governing meets their target. So this could be now associated to many things as to why they are failing. It could be due to mismanagement of funds. It could be due to corruption. It could be due to misagreement or tensions between the board and the management.
Mm-hmm. So you are saying the SOEs or state-owned enterprises which are regulating, they are doing their job. Is it maybe not just because they are not judged based on profit? And those who were supposed to make profit are not doing what they were supposed to do. Now, you know, we have seen a lot of state almost at the edge of collapsing, or some state-owned enterprises at the edge of collapsing. Some are collapsing. We just lost our, you know, airline just went into the thin air and is never recovered. Nothing happened. It has been bailed out. They are saying around 9 billion was used to try to bail out and sustain it to keep on breathing, but it never came out. We have seen institutions such as NIDA, which just made profit once in the 7 years of existence or 6 or 7 years of existence. Then a lot of SOEs. Now, can we go straight to the act which is guiding this public, public enterprises. What is the act saying, and what are some of the loopholes that we have in Public Enterprise Governance Act, or are we not following what we put on paper?
Okay, the act mainly is because the main purpose of the PEGA Act.
Yeah.
It's to manage state-owned entities.
Yeah.
So it's there to enhance and ensure transparency, accountability, and efficiency in the SOEs.
Yeah.
And it's also there to strengthen the government oversight of SOEs to prevent financial mismanagement, to prevent issues such as corruption. So it has to be done through the board.
Yeah.
And also through, because the act stipulates many things. It stipulates the powers of the ministers.
Yeah.
The appointment procedures of the board.
Yeah.
The performance agreement.
Yeah.
That the board should have with the management. The CEOs. So, in terms of the act, you have stated, very good, actually I would say very good, procedures to be followed.
Yeah.
But I think the problems come with, if the act effective,
mm-hmm.
Is it being really imposed?
Yeah.
Or is a, ministry ensuring that the SOEs are following what the act says?
Yeah.
Is the act being enforced into to make sure that the SOEs and the governing structure of the SOEs follows the procedures that are set out in the SOE in the act? Because if they're following what the act says, they'll be performing well. So I think, the act has also some, I wouldn't want to say loopholes.
Yeah.
But I would want to say that, maybe if it, when it comes, for instance, when it comes to, performances monitoring.
Yeah.
Because the act states that SOEs should at least, have, strategic plans.
Yeah.
They should have business plans. They should also have,
just hold on. Just hold on. We have to commission a break. Just hold on. Stay on the line.
At my age, you start appreciating things you might have taken for granted before, like good health. I've learned from early on that donating blood regularly was indeed good for my health. I'm too old now, but I've done my part in saving hundreds of lives while benefiting my own. You see, my risk of a heart attack, stroke, and cancer was always low. Because I donated blood.
Call NHP on 061-285-5400. We're about you.
Yes, we are continuing with Early Morning Scoop. We are looking at, we are analyzing, Public Enterprise Governance Act and, what are the challenges that we have in our SOEs and how can we avoid the unfortunate, events like what have happened. And, also keeping our resources, at check. So, we were at, the act, stipulation in terms of, strategic, plan and also other requirements needed. Can you please clarify that?
Yes, so I was there at that thing that now, the act now says that, SOEs should submit their strategic plan, their financial, plans.
Yeah.
So these are the, for instance, the strategic plan.
Yeah.
It sets out how the SOE is going to meet their targets.
Yeah.
Because it sets out their vision, it sets out their mandate.
Yeah.
And it also sets out their long-term goals.
Yeah.
So now all those strategic plans, they should be able to guide the SOEs into success.
Mm-hmm.
I think that goes. But also the one issue is on the act is that on the issue of monitoring and reporting.
Yeah.
So the act also says that the board must immediately inform the governing structures, that is the board, and any events or anything that is affecting their strategic or financial plan.
Yeah.
For the execution of their strategic plan and their performances. So that they could be able at least to come up with effective solutions through their board. So now, I think, now this comes in when the SOE is the management. I think maybe they are failing to report.
Now, because because for you to come up with a strategic plan, you need the CEO who is driving that vision. You also need a little bit of a board to also see the vision or understand the vision of that that organization, and also a little bit of senior management to get involved. Now, you have an institution like NIDA. It was stated, and I was there when they presented They presented their 5-year strategic plan, and they said this for the first time in 6 years, presenting their audited financial statement and also their long-term strategic plan. The question that now we're asking, is the ministries not accountable enough to make sure that they question all the SOEs to bring their documents on time? Because looking at what they've been happening, you are asking yourself, what was the minister doing in those years of existence of the institution, always being, you know, getting money from the state, but you don't ask questions? Are they overwhelmed, or what is the problem?
I don't think they are overwhelmed.
Yeah.
Because the minister is telling the political officer who is there to read the ministry.
Yeah.
But within the ministry,
yeah,
structure, there are executive directors.
Yeah.
There are other officials.
Yeah.
That help the minister to make sure that they perform their duties.
Yeah.
So, maybe the main question should rather be also on the governing structures of SOE,
yeah,
the board.
Yeah.
Because that is the structure that communicates to the minister.
Yeah.
So now, this a time period that is set that any SOE should submit their strategic plan within this period.
Yeah.
They should submit their financial plan within this period.
Yeah.
So I think the challenge there is, like you stated it,
yeah,
that the minister fails to ensure that they receive, or when they see that they did not receive any strategic plan, because when actually the management comes up the strategic plan,
yeah,
they send it to the board for approval,
mm-hmm,
but the board also sends it to the minister and other ministries that are in connection with that SOE,
mm-hmm,
so that they can add their comments before the strategic plan is approved.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and when you go to the website of some of the SOEs,
mm-hmm,
you actually find that they don't have strategic plans. They, mm-hmm, don't have financial plans. And I believe that that's where the failure is coming in terms of failing and in terms of not performing. And there also should be a performance review.
Mm-hmm.
The board and the ministry should also be able to, because the act says that they should be able to review the performances of the SOEs. It could be done annually, it could be done so now, when they are reviewing, if they were reviewing, they will be able to see that this SOE is failing to perform because they are short target goals or short term goals.
Mm-hmm.
But if the SOE is already failing to attain their short term goals,
mm-hmm,
then that is already a question mark to say, if you are failing to achieve your short term goals, what will happen to the long term goals that you indicated in this strategic? Do we need maybe to go back to the drawing board and come up with a new strategy on how we are going to attain this goal?
Yeah.
So it will be easier for them to detect their challenges earlier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, now before we go to the relationship between the board and the CEO and also management, let us look at the power and function of the minister again, because when you look at here, the act is indicating that some of the function of the minister is to determine, you know, criteria of performance measurement, evaluation, if you have stated. I don't know if that was done. And also what I'm interested in is, you know, I'm interested in the finance, in the coins. You know, it's also saying the minister also determine remuneration level of board members, chief executive officers, and also senior management staff of public enterprises. Now, that act, you know, it went through a lot of, revisions and so on. But, my question is here, how is a Namibia governance structure is, because you have a minister who is determining, who is determining the remuneration of the board members and also the chief. But on the other hand, you find imbalance in terms of remuneration. A lot of people complain when they see that some of the executives, they are paid more than even ministers. And I was not surprised to see, because a most highly paid person in Namibia is not the president, it's those chief executive officers, the MDs of Prastatals. How do we get here, and what is the act also saying about that, and how do we get here? You have somebody who is being paid 250,000, for example, per month, but if you compare that salary of an ordinary Namibian, that is somebody's pension money, and how did we get here, and what is this saying about the state of Namibia economic inequality?
Yes, the issue of remuneration, especially for executives in case of this.
Yeah.
I believe that their remuneration or their salaries, most of them are very high.
Yeah.
Yes, because if you look at most of their annual salary, a monthly salary could be over 200,000.
Yeah.
So when it comes now to deciding on the remuneration, the minister is responsible for the board.
Yeah. So
the board then decide the remuneration of the executives.
Uh-huh.
So these remunerations, they're not even related to performances, because if we're saying that the SOEs or the CEOs or whatever executives, they'll be remunerated, or they'll be, their salary will depend on their performances.
Yeah.
Because now you would find, even if the SOE is performing well, it's not attaining their goals.
Yeah.
The salaries of the executives are too high. This person or this management is failing to meet their targets and goals.
So even if the SOE continue to be bailed out, the salary can still continue to be high.
Yes, exactly. So I think there is also an issue, because now you are spending so much on salary while the SOE is not generating any revenue. Yeah, so I think
that's also let us look at the issues. I don't want to look at issues of conflict of interest. I want to look at the issues of the conflict between the board of directors and CEOs. Why is that? Is it also what's happening with other countries? Because I'm only seeing that I've been trying to see what's happening in Zim and Botswana and also Angola. But they have different, they have problems also with the SOEs, but different problems. But when you look at what is happening, you look at Namibia Financial Student Assistance Fund, for example, there have been a long battle there between the CEO and the board. You look at NAMCO, that is, we have seen that, it's a dog eat dog fight, and, it's a cutthroat fight. You compare with South Africa, Eskom, for example, there have been a lot of cases like that. Why there is no harmony between the board and the chief executive officer of Namibia SOEs, and why it's very difficult for Namibian CEOs to finish two terms of their leadership?
Okay. I think the most
recent
is because there has to be a clear statement that states the powers and the functions of the board.
Yeah.
As well as the powers and the functions of the management. Now, it seems like most of the board or limited governing structures, because some of the SOEs don't have, but they have councillors and also, so the governing structures, now the boards, they, in most cases, I would say they interfere in the operations of SOEs. like on daily business operations.
Mm-hmm.
And so now that now creates untrust, because sometimes it's for the government and the banking structure, I mean,
mm-hmm.
and the management to have a very good relationship, it's through trust, it's
mm-hmm.
through communication.
Mm-hmm.
So now the management should be able to communicate to the board of anything that comes up within the operations of the entity.
Mm-hmm.
And the board should also be able to trust the management
mm-hmm.
and allow management to perform their duties. Now when, let's start from the side of the management. If the management says to communicate
mm-hmm.
or to be updating the board,
mm.
and also to be submitting, for instance, their audit report,
mm.
and then obviously the board would be at their neck questioning, why are you not reporting to us?
Mm.
Why are you not updating us about what is happening?
Mm.
But also the board should not interfere in the daily operations of the organizations, because that's what most create bad relationships, because now the management feels that they are being controlled, they are so that their task or their duties are being taken over by the board.
Mm-hmm.
So there should be a very, very clear statement where the powers of the board end in terms of what they are supposed to do,
mm-hmm.
and where the powers of the executive end. And I think mm-hmm. the ministers should also be able to, because the minister is the regulator between these two, when they see that there is, because some of this relationship dysfunction starts from, I would say, minor things, and then they start growing, becoming bigger because they're not being solved. Sometimes the ministers don't come to an area to resolve the matter or the issue between the management and the board.
Mm-hmm. Now, there's this thing that, you know, we spoke about, with few analysts, particularly when it's coming to KEDA deployment. You know, there's always a saying to say, it's not always the best who are sent to the governing council or the board. It's not only the best who are sent. It's a little bit of, you know, political influence. What do you say about that?
Influence is there. Some are sent to what you would say to political influence.
Yeah.
But the appointment of the board, even the PEGA Act, stated that the appointment of board members,
mm-hmm.
board members should be appointed in terms of their skills,
mm-hmm.
in terms of their qualifications, in terms of their experiences, so that they'll be able to perform their duties.
Mm.
For instance, in a board, there should be someone who has finance background.
Yeah.
Someone who can understand and read the audit report and understand what it says.
Yeah.
And be able to pick any error in the audit. There should be someone with a legal background.
Mm-hmm.
Someone who can understand the risk and compliance, you know, those such stuff.
Yeah.
But now, in some boards, you would find that the board exists, but for mostly what I see, they always ensure that there's someone with the legal experience.
Yeah, and finance.
Experience. Yeah, and finance. But other than that, some of the members would say that maybe due to their experiences, but it's also due to political influences, because the minister appoints the board.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So it could be to particular influences, it could be to a relationship, other relationship, but it shouldn't be like that.
Yeah. Let us look at also, SOEs and, politics at the high structure. We see, you know, some, CEOs, they can make decisions, without even, you know, informing the board, but the board is the boss of the CEO, right? They make decisions without informing the board. And, now, when the minister come and determine, you find that CEO may be protected, but it's not how governance should work. You may be right in terms of what you did, but that's not how government should do. And also the other thing that I also want you to touch is also the issues of there have been a lot of statements regarding a case like Meat, for example. Cabinet is saying this way. Attorney General is saying don't do that. Then government is saying let us do this. And how do we make sure that those contradictions are clarified, because you have a legal opinion from a senior lawyer to the cabinet, then you have cabinet moving this direction, then you have also the board which is saying we want to do this way. Say no, don't interfere with us. You appointed us, now let us do our job. How can we harness those things and also avoid corruption, to say, because when there is conflict, there's always somebody eating in that conflict.
Yes. So I think they have to resolve that issues of direction for directors coming from different governing structures. Because sometimes we find, as you stated, that management can receive a directive from the minister, sometimes from the cabinet, sometimes from the body itself.
There should
be only at least one single governing structure that orders to the management.
Yeah.
Or one secretary that gives orders to the board.
Yeah.
Because now if the cabinet is giving orders to the board, the minister is giving orders to the board, like what you said, the auditor, but
Attorney is giving another opinion.
Then it will bring the board in a situation where they will be able not to, on which directive to decide or to follow.
Mm-hmm.
The directive should just come from one governing structure, for not to cause confusion and disagreement in the board.
Mm-hmm. Now, lastly, let us look at corruption itself, especially in SOEs. You know, a lot of cases have been seen. People speak about mismanagement, and we see chief executives being suspended on full salary, and a lot of money being lost, and a lot of things have happened, but life have continued to be how it has been. Now, we don't really see people being held accountable. It's just somebody, you just resign or you get suspended, you go home, you get another job, but nothing really clarified. Is there anything that need to be done to strengthen the law which is governing SOEs to save to save the resources of the country? Because if, for example, you are paying me 185,000 or 200,000, then I did something wrong, you suspend me on full salary for the next 7 months, and I continue also to benefit from that amount while the company is going down. How can this thing be solved? Because it's really what the public also want to be worked on.
What can be done to resolve those issues? Just enforcement. Make sure that you can enforce the law.
Yeah.
Okay, now when it comes to CEOs, if someone is investigated, or someone is said to be involved in corrupt activities or mismanagement of funds, we should at least immediately put down the person and conduct an where you should be able to investigate the allegations.
Mm-hmm.
And this thing should be done on time,
mm-hmm,
before the situation escalates.
Mm-hmm.
And also, so I think the especially the ACCs should really step up into making sure that they act on time.
Yeah.
And also just to make sure that they enforce the laws, because the laws and the act are very clear.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure that these acts and laws are enforced as they are. And if the management or the CEOs or the board is going beyond this act,
yeah.
then you should act right away to say that no, you are not doing this according to the law.
Mm.
So I think the most thing is just enforcement to make sure that the laws and acts that govern and regulate the SEOs are enforced, strictly enforced on a regular basis.
Yes, just your final opinion, especially to this case of Namco. What is the best option to revive that institution and also to set a good precedency? Because people are talking about systemic corruption. People are talking about the link, because I cannot move 100 million alone. There must be more than 20 people that are also assisting me to carry those, transactions, and also covering my tracks and all those things. Now, Namco is a very important institution in Namibia, and it's at the center of, oil and also every energy related stuff, or just oil in general, to say. But looking at the reputation, looking at what have happened, looking at people who are left there, and also maybe by not only looking at the management, also looking at the board which is there, what is a better way of reviving an institution? I'm asking this question because, you know, you may have an institution which has been, be in the public for not too good reason, then they decided to bring up a new CEO, they also decided to bring up, new board members, but things continue to happen. Look at what's happening to NIDA. Fresh, board members start reviving everything, then somebody got fired and all those things, and with a new strategic plan. And you are just asking yourself to say, no, what's going on? So, to set a precedency and also to revive the institution, what do you really think, need to be done? Not to clean out everything, but just to make sure that at least the institution has improved and also resources are being saved. Because if you talk about 100 millions being lost just in the thin air, that is something which is very big.
I think what needs to be done there at Nanga is lots of more cases are just it's mismanagement of funds. I think it has to do more with the finances, spending or the finances number.
Yeah.
I think that's where the government needs to come in and make sure that finances or financial resources are spent well. But now the institution has already lost a lot of funds.
Yeah.
So, which means that it's likely to require bailout.
Yeah.
It's very hard now to say that should the this enterprise be bailed out, but because we need this enterprise.
Yeah, yeah.
With the discovery of oil and gas that were recently discovered, and so we really need it. We can't allow or we can't let it be liquidated like in Namibia. So I think government really need to step in and make sure that if they are going to restructure it, if they are going to come up with maybe they dissolve the board and the management and just restructure the whole organization.
Yeah.
Or they are just going to make sure that they improve the performances through the officials and through the board.
Mm.
And on the case now that is happening, I think we should allow ACC to do their jobs and conduct their investigation. And now the challenging part is that you don't know how long it will take ACC to resolve this issue and to conclude their investigation, because this is something that requires serious attention,
mm-hmm.
something that requires time, and also it's not the only cases that ACC is working on. So I think maybe on that we should just be patient with ACC and see what their investigations and the outcome of their investigation will be. Because even with the arrest of some of the executives, ACC has not yet announced the charges for why some of these people are arrested, they did not really specify in terms of yes. or the direct charges of these people are arrested. So, yes, we should just be waiting on SEC to do their jobs.
Yes.
We should also try not to interfere in the investigations.
Yes. Okay. IMS, thank you very much for your time, and also thank you for your input this morning.
Thank you so much, David. Have a good day.
Right, cool. Yes, that is IMS Kangoya. He's a governance researcher. I was trying to try to understand the PEGA Act. A PEGA Act is a Public Enterprise Governance Act. It's an act which is giving the, you know, explaining the power and function of different institutions in terms of, you know, managing public enterprises or SOEs. It's explaining the power of the board of directors, the power of the CEO, the power of the ministry, or the power of the minister also responsible, and how things should be done. When you look at the act is very clear, the power and function. And when you look at what is happening on the ground, you'll be able to realize that the situation on the ground is not as what is on paper. And a lot of this corporate fight made Namibia to lose a lot of resources. And also, there's a lot of also of unclear communication where you see a body saying something, the executives are saying something, the management are saying something, and the ministry is also saying the other thing. Then you have cabinet also which is saying the other thing, because some of these decisions have to be approved by cabinet, especially appointing somebody who said of, you know, SOEs. And one thing that IMS mentioned also is when you look at Namibia, when you analyze SOE or state-owned enterprises, not all of them are for profit-making. Some of them are regulators. You can look at institutions like NQA, for example. Then you look at institutions like Central. Electrical Control Board, for example, and many other regulatory body. Some are just regulators, and the regulators are a bit safe because they don't work on profit. They look at regulations. They regulate other institutions. And also they see if other institutions are in compliance, resources are being handled here and there. But for profit making, you will see that money is getting lost every day. And not just small money, big money. And you're asking yourself to say, how come on earth? And it's a question which was asked by, one of the business guy in Namibia, Rastu Shapumba, said, man, how come you are paying somebody 300,000? You're just supposed to pay this person even 60,000 if he's working very well. It's because like that you are gambling on others. And, I understand him. He's a business person. He's a man who has a lot of money, but he understands the value and quality of money to say, paying this person this amount of money must also be determined by what the person is bringing on the table. Because if you are paying me a lot of money, I bring those turnaround strategy and nothing have worked, then I'm wasting your money. Nothing have worked. I'm wasting your money because I'm a CEO of a going down institution. So those are some of the things that we are looking at today. We have around 28 minutes before we come to the end of our conversation. You can still engage us in the studio at 083-288-401, 083-288-401. You can have a better understanding of governance. You can have experience in working at the SOEs. And you will be able also to give, strength to the conversation. You'll be able to give strength to the conversation. You'll also be able also to give strength to the act and how things are being done. So, in Namibia, it's very difficult to become a CEO of an SOEs, particularly this time. It's very difficult. If you find somebody who has been a CEO for more than two terms, you must thank that person. And it says a lot, because apart from you surviving, corporate fights, And there's a lot of things that, you know, going on, temptations, a lot of offers under the, behind closed doors. And, some people must be thanked without mentioning their names. Some people must be thanked to say, okay, let's take a caller. Hello.
Yes, good morning, sir.
Morning, sir. How are you?
Fine, thank you. How are you too, sir?
I'm well.
Thank you for the conversation, the presentation from the brother there.
Yes.
And I was asking myself.
What question are you asking yourself?
I was just asking myself. I was wondering and say, yeah, if you have this demarcation of leadership and management, and I hope each of one, each has hit on laid down.
Yeah.
Standard of performance.
Yeah.
And they know how to interact and things like that. And despite the fact that some of the functions in their roles,
yeah,
they were repping.
Mm.
But many a times you find that kind of a fight between themselves.
Yeah.
The board is this one, this other one has approved the things without the board's approval and all this kind of things. My question was, is it only ethical consideration that must be observed by some profession?
Mm.
Because we are talking about accountants are there.
Your lawyers are there.
Ethical professionals are there.
Yeah.
And all these other people from different districts.
Yeah.
But why is it still that we find, I understand, when it comes to technocratic, sometimes they feel that, they are the executive director.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, and they have their role there is to manage, to enforce those legal rules and all these principles.
Yeah.
And make sure that everybody behaves ethically.
Yeah.
Within that organization.
Yeah.
And anybody that breaches those, obviously, the prescription is there.
Yeah.
Why do we still have people, I understand, like the one for NAMCO and all these things. Even if you are to act in terms of emergency or whatever the case might be.
Yeah.
The procedural has to be followed, the procedure.
Yeah.
For me, I think the problem is just our behaviors, our attitudes.
Our attitude as executives or just Namibians?
No, I can't say the word Namibians. What did you say?
As executives of the SOEs or just Namibians, because these things are not happening only in one SOE, in one field, because there's a difference between, you have NAMCO, for example, you have NIDA, these are not the same people.
So, you see, and those ones, if they are regulated and they're governed by one act or some rules and some act, or some statutory provision, and they are still, and some of them are not performing. Some of them, they have to go to the government for bailouts. And most of them, even if they are in commercial, those who are providing social services and things like that.
Yeah.
So as long as the satisfaction or from the service that they are providing to the master, it's not questionable.
Mm-hmm.
So those who are made for the purpose of making profit, and everyone, in fact, everyone has got the social responsibility to contribute to the development and the welfare of the people, isn't it?
Yeah.
So if you are making, in fact, they are all expected to generate, for example, revenue and create employment. So those ones, the non-profit making organization, I mean, on side, they are also expected to provide satisfactory service.
Yeah, yeah.
And also provide, let's say, on the health. How many people are dying from malnutrition there?
And
related kind of illness, malnutrition related illness.
In,
are they not supposed to be there and say, okay, you guys, you are getting this grant from the Ministry of Gender Equality and whatever. Now, what you need to do to sustain those things. And everybody's able to perform. So I think it's just our effort. If the act is clear and everybody's supposed to... what about... Okay, let's now talk about those leaders and others there.
Yeah.
Those who are governing those green schemes.
Yeah.
So if they're not performing, now the leaders, of course, they are all of us, we are worthy blaming. But what I'm saying is that if you cannot put our act in place to enforce those rules, and we allow people just to transgress, then what kind of corporate governance structure are we going to have in the country?
I think that is a good question, especially when it's coming to corporate governance, because, you know, it's not only about public enterprise governance. It's not only about the PEGA Act, because I understand these SOEs, they also have their internal policies. You can come up with your internal policy attached to this, and when you use that, it's also a law. That's why I think people are being creative enough in their own space to make sure that whatever you shoot with them, to them, it will not penetrate. That's why these people have been surviving for a very long time. And it's not only them. I think there's a lot of things that need to be done based on the law, because sometimes I know, uncle, you did something wrong, but I will not come to you because you are surrounded by protection, laws, yeah, and all those things. There's a bulletproof around you. And that's why people, we can just talk whatever we can say on social media, but a person is waking up, driving his Lamborghini and eat dinner wherever he or she wants in Namibia. You understand?
I understand, it's true.
Yeah.
We are also to be blamed.
Yeah.
Because if you see something is wrong, I don't know, we shouldn't be compromising on our assets and compromise when the law says so. Of course, I understand the fear and all the things that you are talking about.
Yeah.
But does that mean that we should compromise the rule of law?
No.
Mm-hmm. So let's just make sure that we enforce these things, or we change our attitude, make sure that we do these things, because if transparency is not there,
yeah,
and all these other cardinal values are not observed, then what?
Yeah.
We have the corruption, we have the AC, Anti-Corruption Commission running after, like you said, we don't want people to be arrested.
Yeah, now they are saying apparently it's no more toothless bulldog. The thing is now a pit bull. The thing is now a pit bull. It has teeth now. It can bite you.
Mr. Sam, thank you very much for your presentation. I love it.
Okay, thank you.
God bless.
Yes, we are continuing with Early Morning Scoop. Today we are looking at PEGA Act, Public Enterprise Governance Act. That is an act which is governing state-owned enterprises. Prastatals, why do we still have a lot of fights? Why do we still have, after so many years, not a well-established governance, good corporate governance structure? And some SOEs, they still have acting CEOs. Some CEOs, they acted for more than 5 years, or more than 4 years to say. And they are acting because the other cases are not finalized, and this is eating money from the government. And we are asking ourselves, why are we where we are? Where are we, if you have to say? We are at this difficult position of youth unemployed, more than 30,000 people. They are talking about around 15,000 education graduates in the street. Not only that, we have a lot of professions on the street. And we will continue to talk about these statistics until something is done. You look at the electricity price, we are leading in SADC region. You look at inequality, we are number two in the world. Economic inequality, we are number two. When you look at, a lot of things, when you look at our financial system, we are not on standard. We are high risk jurisdiction in the face of the world. We are grey listed, and not only that, we are high risk zone. When you look at the economic ranking, we are downgraded. You know what is very interesting is also that we are downgraded. We are the only country which is downgraded in the world, or going back in terms of ranking, to say, no, you guys are not passing. We are going back. We are no more upper middle income country. And, yeah. So, let's take a caller. Hello?
Sorry, David. I think I always forget this one point. What every day I come into a conversation, it's a,
okay.
I did it in my mind, but I forget. So, you know, there were some years when they were looking for this board of directors. Yes, and they were unable to find them.
Yeah.
People are to apply. We have heard this announcement here on this radio here.
Yeah.
USM, that yes, the leaders, the board of directors,
yeah,
are in this case. Hence, you find people serving in 2, 3, 4, 5 different board of directors.
Is that true?
So, it was mentioned here that the time of Wonders and Kevin, so people were asking for board of directors some years back.
Maybe they are
not applying. They are not applying.
Maybe they are not getting people that they want.
No.
Yeah.
I think maybe, I don't know, maybe it was because he's just almost from COVID this year.
Yeah.
And maybe people are not, but I still believe that those who really want to serve.
Yeah.
Just because of, you know, when you are now talking about accountability, transparency, and all this protection of this, all the other things.
Yeah.
If you don't really don't just want to go for money,
yeah,
they might be very bold.
Yeah.
And if you know that the leaders in the board of directors are not there,
yeah,
and they lack some of these things,
okay, just hold on, hold on.
Bargain Hunters, you save and slash price on groceries, trees, fresh fruit, and veggies. 1.5 kilo real good frozen mixed chicken portion, just $74.99. 400 millimeter crystal gold tomato sauce, just $14.99. Knorr soup of all variants, $5.99 each. 570 gram packets Polana instant noodles, just $26.99. And 410 grams U brand mixed veggies, only $12.99 per tin. Save big at You Save.
Yes.
Yeah, maybe the situation has improved, but there was that cry that, yes, the board of directors, people are not applying and all the things in most of the institution. Maybe the situation has improved because your population and maybe the skills, whatever base has also increased.
But
there was that challenge, a very big challenge, actually.
But where we are now, Namibia, we have professionals. We have professionals. Maybe we are not well positioned. We have professionals. We have people who can do things. Even the other time we were talking about this thing of consultancy. There is always element of consultancy. A consultant is regarded as a technical expert to give
aid.
Yeah.
No, go ahead.
Yeah, but when you look at most of the policies that we have. Just read well. Who is in charge? Who is the lead consultant in that drafting of that policy? Then you just say, where are the Namibians?
You know what, man?
Yeah.
When you look at the hierarchy.
Yeah.
Your guest also mentioned about the hierarchy and that structure.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you have always mentioned that, and it's true. I always forget. Maybe it's because I don't take notes most of the time.
Mm.
So when it comes to consultants,
yeah.
So most of our managers,
yeah,
and I'm saying most of them, and I have interacted, you know me, I'm a very controversial person.
I know.
That's one of my name. One of my name, my colleague called me controversial one.
Controversy one. But it's good to be controversial because you are doing something, because you know if you are not you know they are saying if everybody likes you, then you have a very serious problem.
I'm telling you, the brother, and you see, I don't want to be contradicting good norm. You understand?
Yeah.
So that when it is all, you know, there are levels. This is executive, this, you know, those level of the hierarchy, you know, the, what is it, how do you call it, is the chain of command, or what is the lower, the middle, and the...
The structure of governance, chain of command is the same, yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
So now, the knowledge of the subject matter also, you know, is very crucial.
Yeah.
So hence, sometimes you see people are bringing consultants, and they think they diminish, and they don't value the what the local people could do. I think Dr. Lohmann, the one who was heading this the labor, the minimum wage.
Who is that?
Dr. The one that. Forgot the one that the UNAM one and the NAST, the one that you always.
It's Greibinger.
No, I forgot the one from Kavango.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Is it Kumudu?
Kudumo. It's a UNAM.
Yeah. At one point, he said, who is actually saying that we do not have a skilled base? Personnel, so,
yeah.
So, and we have those skills that you are talking about. Is that a matter of if you go there? No. We need a consultant from there. Not many of our Namibians who are doing consultant. Hence, there is a mismatch between our needs here with those consultants. Most of those consultants, what do? They use secondary data in the document.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So they are always relying on secondary data and interview people from there.
And some of them, they don't even have background of what the environment they are working in.
Yeah, they may just scan the environment. You just scan the environment. They say the political factors, the social factors. What is it?
But you know what? Before 1989, you already have Namibians who were sent to schools outside. Some of them, they study at the best universities. And from there, a lot of people went to school and have experience, some working even in international organizations. But when it's coming to doing right things, like consulting, it's rare to find, but some, now they are a bit picking up, but it's always somebody from outside. You see, even institutions which are coming in Namibia, they say, no, unless it's you are not a lead consultant, you are just there, maybe assisting. But why can't we lead on our own things?
No, the problem was also for us, you know, the late Dr. Hage Genkoto, let his soul rest in peace, at one point said, so, you know, like, for example, you know, we are wasting a lot of skills and knowledge and expertise.
Yeah.
Our local one, the one that can really feed in the thing. One point said, yes, this is, those retired people, are they organized? Can they now come up with something and say, okay, so I was working in the office of the prime minister or this other one, this sector and this sector.
Yeah.
What is it that you do? Because you see, if UN agencies and families and all these things have to look for people to do some work, we also advertise these things.
Yeah.
They are also advertised in the newspapers and things like that, consultant in this area and this area.
Yeah.
If you are scattered here, you cannot organize yourself and coordinate your effort, your resources, your little knowledge that you have, which is more.
So we need to be mobilized.
We are scattered. Everybody is better bringing his own individual. When you want to do something.
So they need to be mobilized and they're organized.
Thank you very much.
All right. Yes, we are moving on with Early Morning Scope. We have around, eight minutes. Maybe let us look at, let's go to a commercial break, then we look at South Africa, especially with, ongoing controversy in South African police. You have there General Mkwananzi and, the police minister. Then we look a little bit in Kenya, what is happening there. Is Ruto safe? Is Ruto able to manage, or the situation is getting out of control? So let's look at, the commercial break, then we can see. What do we have for you?
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM. The R.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who you know doesn't have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we have been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Great news. Impact just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Ingo? Get all exclusive features for just $36 Namibian a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Ingo has to offer at an unbeatable price. Ingo, the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Ipurani njelo wapungwa Eva tere mwikoni mandu tuto ingida ashike kapenu mweko tete okowe eko kulile oshafa fana nongeshe faili mehola mo ihewe kike kovano ile koshuwana kono ngeshe fa ya pungwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi todae njoka okupitira oi.
Yes, we have 5 minutes before we come to the end of our conversation. Today we were talking about, analyzing PEGA Act, Public Enterprise Governance Act, the act which is governing, public enterprises. How can we, limit, avoid and stop, corruption in public enterprises and also, safeguard Namibia natural resources. Yeah, looking at South Africa, and there have been an ongoing, cases, controversy between Commissioner General Nana Mkwananzi, as the Commissioner General of, Retainer General of, South African, Police. And it's a commissioner for KZN, KwaZulu-Natal. It's a well-known police, man. It's a well-known commander in KZN who fight corruption head on. And he's known to arrest dangerous criminals in South Africa. And he has a reputation and also qualifications and experience in law enforcement. He's a lawyer by academics. And, what he did recently is that he exposed corruption ring between the man known as Ket. It's a criminal syndicate in South Africa, and the relationship with the Minister of Police. Now, what you need to understand is that, the Minister of Police is the one who is a top cop or in charge of the whole law enforcement in the country. Yeah, but this commissioner realized to say, even if he is fighting crime at the region or at the province of KZN where he is, it's very difficult for him to execute his job because the minister is working with, this man called Ket, who is head of a syndicate, he's an arrested guy, and they have communication and also WhatsApp text. Now, there's a lot of public controversy going on, and just recently it's indicated that the DA, DA, which is a Democratic Alliance opposition party in South Africa, which is part of GNU, filed complaint against Police Minister Senzo Mchunu. They filed a complaint of misconduct, and they want him out. That is what's happening. Now, you need to understand also that apart from having a police minister, you have what we call a national police commissioner, who also indicated that I'm going to protect this guy. He indicated that Kwananzi, who exposed this criminal connection between the police minister and also the head of CDK in South Africa, is going to be protected. The commissioner is going to be protected. Is for example, if you give an example in Namibia, it's like the IG saying the commander of a certain region is going to be protected from the minister of who is in charge of police. So he said they have increased the security of around General Mkwananzi's house and residence, and a lot of developments are happening, and a lot of politicians are also calling for the minister of police in South Africa to resign due to the connection and the relationship with the head of syndicate, the head of criminal organization, who is also a business guy and a tender person. So that is what's happening. But when you look at, in this few seconds, when you look at Kenya, it's also very important to look at Kenya. What is happening in Kenya is that, you know, there's still a lot of protest going on, and they are a bit getting out of hand. And just yesterday, President Ruto indicated that, you know, those citizens who are vandalizing, you know, those citizens who are vandalizing businesses must be shot on the legs. Not, they must be, you know, shot on the legs to make sure that, and he indicated that he's going to do whatever it means necessary to make sure that he stabilizes the country. Because it is indicated that around 31 people were killed on Monday. That is according to Human Rights Watch in Kenya, Nairobi. And vandalism and looting of businesses were reported in different towns in Kenya. And this is has to do with protest from you know, young people, and also mass anti-government protest, which is threatening the stability of Kenya government, and also provision of service. So this is something that we need to look at, and it's also something that developed, you know, is developing in Africa. So need to be followed and see what is happening. So dear listeners, thank you very much for always making time and listening to Eagle FM Namibia and Early Morning Scoop. So I'm going to leave you in the good hands of Michael Shoveri with Unpacking the Day. So stay tuned. We are here, and we're here to save you. So stay tuned. And, yeah.